Good morning. Hey, that was really good. Good morning to you. We are delighted that you're here with us today. Welcome to First Baptist Roswell. If you're a guest or a first-time visitor with us today, we especially want to say a word. In mind, there's a little connection card, a visitor card in the pew rack in front of you. If you would, pull that out, write your name down, give us some details and information about yourself. We'd love to know more about you, just as a way to greet you and a way to stay connected with you after today's worship service. That way we can tell you more about our church and hopefully learn how we might minister to you going forward from here. Lots of exciting things going on in the life and the work of our church, folks. I invite you to find in your bulletin the announcement sheet, pull that out, and either staple this to your forehead or to your refrigerator or something. There's lots of important things going on here that you'll want to make note of coming up in the weeks ahead. First and foremost, happening this Tuesday night from 7 to 10, we're taking our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to the warehouse. And so if you'd like to volunteer, Robert has about 5 more spots available. So we invite you to contact Robert tomorrow morning first thing and get signed up to help our youth take those to the warehouse. That way they can be distributed as they are intended to be. Also, this Wednesday night coming up, 2 things on our calendar. Our family Advent wreath making happens at 6:30 following our meal in the gym with Jessica, and then Holiday Hope. For those of you that are in need of a moment to pause and to heal, you've seen our advertisement last week, and you've seen it in our church email that Logan has sent out. This service isn't just for those that are grieving, but those that are missing something, those that have a stirring in this holiday season. We invite you to come and be part of that meaningful time in which we'll be together to pause. I hope you'll find us there in the chapel at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And then next Sunday evening, 2 very exciting things to kick off your holiday and Christmas season. Our youth and children's music Christmas presentation will be here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock p.m. And even more important than that, afterwards at 7 p.m. is the sampler. Okay, that's when we'll bring all the food. We invite you to bring a potluck dish, a dish to share. Bring it down to the gym beforehand, before our worship time together, and we'll after worship at 6 o'clock p.m. next Sunday night, we'll go down and we'll fellowship and enjoy each other's company and each other's food together. Folks, today as we gather for worship, we do so in this space that seems just a little bit different. I don't know if you're like me, but there's different things about it in different corners of the room. It represents a transition, a seasonal change that you see us coming out of the season of Thanksgiving and our attitude of gratitude into a responsive and an inviting time for us to prepare to pause. As we worship today, we don't yet quite celebrate Advent, but we prepare our hearts and our minds to get ready to wait, to pause. All throughout our worship service today, you'll see the room unfold before your very eyes. We'll finish the hanging of the greens, and we'll place things in different parts of the room, and you'll see this space totally come to life as we look ahead to next week's beginning of the Advent season. If you're sitting in a certain spot in the sanctuary, or if you're near a garland, maybe that's in your pew, or if you're sitting on top of some signs right there across the balcony, don't worry, it says, please sit here. It doesn't say, don't sit here. It says, please sit here. We're asking you to take part in our worship service today. If you would, during the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, we'll ask you to take part in the greening of our room and complete our decoration process. If you'll take a moment, some point before then in the worship service, read that instruction card. And when we get to the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, we'll all together finish our preparations. As we do so today, would you prepare to pause? Come, let us worship God together. Follow along in your call to worship printed in your bulletin today. The coming season of Advent calls us to pause and reflect, a time to wait and a time to keep watch. Advent calls us to prepare. How shall we do this? By keeping watch for God. Let us surround ourselves with reminders of his coming. How shall we prepare God's house for the coming of Jesus, the King, our eternal Christ, our Savior and Lord? With branches and a tree, with wreaths and garlands of evergreen, with poinsettias and candles. How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of prophets who foretold the saving work of God.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. All glory to God in the highest. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
I invite you to pull out your hymnal, find hymn number 197, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let's offer this to God together this morning. Stand if you're able.
Everyone, I'm so glad to see all of you here this morning. So today is very special because today we are decorating our sanctuary to get ready for the Christmas season. Now, between now and Christmas, hopefully sooner, because I love Christmas decorations. I don't know about you, but you guys will be decorating your own homes for Christmas. You'll put up the tree and put up the decorations so that we can be ready. And then we wait. We decorate for this big celebration, but then we have to wait because the season of Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time for us to wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so I brought one of my Christmas decorations. This is my countdown to Christmas. And I get really excited to move this every day because every day it is closer to Christmas. Now, it can seem like it takes a long time for us to get to Christmas. But as we wait, we remember all of the things that Jesus brought to us. And so starting next week, we are going to have our Advent wreath over there, and we are going to remember the hope and peace and joy and love that Jesus brought to us. So in just a few days, I get to start moving this thing. And I brought you guys a countdown to Christmas too, so that as we wait, you can remember, and as we get closer to the birth of Jesus. So you're going to start at number 25 on December the 1st, okay? And then go all the way to Jesus at number 1. So as we decorate, we also wait to celebrate. And in just a few days, the countdown to celebrate the birth of Jesus will begin. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to us. We are excited to celebrate his birth in just a few weeks. thank you for all of the decorations and for all of the ways that we can remember and make Christmas special. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Perhaps the most universal feature of Christmas decorating is the use of evergreens. Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, ivy, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die. The early Christians placed evergreen garlands and boughs in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered their homes. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. We use evergreens because these plants do not decay. Through the seasons of the year, they remain ever green, ever alive. The evergreen color represents the continuance of life through winter, reminding us of life everlasting we find through our faith in Christ. The prickly leaves of the holly suggest the crown of thorns, and the red berries suggest the blood of the Savior, reminding us of Christ's passion and God's love for us to send a Savior and redeem us from our sins. In just a moment, during the hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," our greens will be placed in the windows and the balcony, and we invite you to remember God's continual faithful love for each of us.
As the body of Christ, we hang wreaths as a symbol of God's faithfulness and God's love for each one of us. Their endless circle reminds us of God's never-ending love. In ancient times, wreaths of evergreen were often used to mark victory and celebration. The wreaths suggest a crown of royalty fit for a king. Their endless circle reminding us of continuity, of something never-ending, without end and without beginning. Throughout the Advent season, wreaths will hang in our sanctuary and also around our campus, adorning this place and making it truly a holy ground. As you enter past these wreaths on our campus throughout the month of December, we ask that you be reminded of the Messiah's never-ending reign, of God's love for us, which has no beginning and no end, and of a victory we share, each one of us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we're reminded once again of your great love for us, we thank you so much for this season that teaches us to wait and to be patient. That is a difficult thing for some of us because we are so busy and we hurry about to get things done that we feel are important. So, Father, today as we reflect on being patient and waiting, and as we decorate our sanctuary, Father, we are reminded again of your great love, and we anticipate your coming. Yet, Father, the challenge becomes, not only do we are reminded of the decorations on the outside, but are we concerned about what's on the inside? For, Father, we know that you are concerned about each and everyone's heart. And, Father, our heart's desire is to be more like you, as we have learned in the last couple of Sundays, to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we desire to decorate the inside. We desire to decorate it with love, peace, joy, and mercy, and grace, and forgiveness. We desire to be more like your Son this Christmas season. For we have been grateful for so much. You have blessed us, not only as a community of faith, but as individuals. And so, Father, we come this Christmas season desiring a big change within our hearts. Help us to look somewhat beyond the decorations on the outside, although they do remind us of your goodness and grace, but have a desire to have a big heart, a loving heart, a caring heart for those that we come across. For we ask this in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For many of us, the Christmas tree is central to the seasonal decorations in our homes. It sits in place of prominence for all to see. During the Advent season, our Christmas tree will be on display in the narthex just outside our sanctuary, resting in a place of importance for all to see, not just for us gathered here, but for all in our community who pass by our church. In ancient times, the cedar was revered as the tree of royalty. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. We have placed this tree in our space as a symbol of Christ, who reigns as King forever and whose coming will purify our hearts. Over the years, we have decorated the tree with various symbols, pointing us to Christ, reminding us of his life, his ministry, his love, and his presence in our lives. The tree tells a story woven through the testimony of Scripture, unfolding various narratives and aspects of our shared faith in God, centered around this time of year. New ornaments have been added each year, helping to share and explain our faith. Just like our faith, our Christmas tree tells a story. And this year, the tree tells the story of a journey. While our church continues to follow on a new journey into this Advent and Christmas season, we hope you will be reminded of the journey that Mary and Joseph took to help usher in the Messiah. So we invite you to go by and see the tree, to spend time and pause at it. Look closely, interact with the ornaments, ponder the questions it asks, celebrate the story it tells, and remember the Messiah it points us to.
Lord God, we are thankful and grateful for our ministers who are taking an extra load during the time and after Deloach, our interim pastor, and the wonderful messages he shares with us. May we give our tithes generously to meet our budget that provides the programs and the literature for our age groups. It's time for our Lighty Moon Christmas offering, and we need to give generously to reach our goal of $25,000. All the offering we give will go to the foreign missionaries and help them share the good news of the gospel with unreached people groups who don't know about the love of Christ. Our salvation is more than something Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. It is Jesus living in us, and we must thank him for his eternal life and forgiveness. Billy Graham has written these words: when we preach the resurrection of Christ, we are preaching the miracle of love. When we preach the presence of Christ, we are preaching the power of love. And when we preach the return of Christ, we are preaching the fulfillment of love. No matter what sin we have committed, God loves us. We ask our prayer in the name of the Holy Spirit who guides us, and in the Spirit of God who gave his only Son to teach us love and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Amen.
Since in this capacity since August, I'm just waiting for what a non-special Sunday looks like. Every Sunday, it's just a real blessing, and I do mean that quite sincerely. So thank you, choir. Thank you, instrumentalists, and so capably leading us. Thank you, congregation, for just enthusiastically embracing each Sunday with your voices, and most importantly, with your presence, because showing up is what worship really is all about, being here and being together. Let's just take a moment and just pause, because it's sort of, we're in that liminal space where buckle your seat belts on your pews, because we're about to get started into the season that brings all kinds of demands upon us, and we're probably feeling a little road weary as it is. I mean, this is sort of post-Thanksgiving, but pre-Advent season. Maybe you, like me, found yourself doing a little bit of traveling when we were kind of setting up our Thanksgiving plans. I called my youngest son and said, now, is it okay that we come and visit during Thanksgiving and just tell us what day is going to be best? He said, well, you can come up Thanksgiving. They live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on base at Fort Bragg. And then he apologized. He said, Dad, I've got to work night duty in the ER both Wednesday night and Thursday night. And I said to him, we're not here to see you. We're here to see the grandchild. Sorry, I miscommunicated that. You're not important anymore. But we had a wonderful time and returned last night, and grateful to kind of be back in our own home as well. So maybe you've been doing a bit of traveling and you're feeling the weariness of celebrations, knowing that there's still yet more to come. But you're in a good space, because church is not intended to be some marathon where we're going from one event to the next, but rather realizing that all we have to do is just simply be, and in God's calculation, that is always going to be enough. Now, before we have our scripture reading, which represents the culmination of four Sundays of gratitude, we'll be reading or looking at the text from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me take a few moments to set this up. So let's pretend it's Wednesday night and we're in Bible study, or Sunday morning in your Sunday school class. So we're leaning into Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I I'm an Old Testament guy, but I recognize that I'm kind of in the minority. Most of us may not find the connecting points in the Old Testament scripture, and that's okay. I won't judge you just yet. But let me set up Deuteronomy 8 for just a few moments. This text of scripture is addressed initially to the people called Israel, the people who in various places are called the treasured people of God. We call them the chosen people of God because it is a choosing that God looks to Israel to be the shining lights to the rest of the world. It's not that they are more special, but rather they are to be exemplar. How can they model, example, give example to the rest of the world God's magnanimous love to creation? And for 40 years, Israel has been in a sojourn through the wilderness. Now, it's not just geography for geography's sake, but it's a liminal place of deprivation where they literally depended on the leadership of God through God's servants, Moses and others. They were fed by God, manna from heaven. They were led by God by a pillar of light at night and a pillar of cloud by the day. For 40 years, they're traveling through the wilderness to a place promised to them. What that must feel like, to be traveling towards a promise. We all have kind of promises going on in our lives. And to the young, it might be the promise of, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? The education, the career, the making a durable living, so to speak. For others, it is the promise of raising a family and envisioning a future for them. And so you invest time and energy and hope into their young lives. The older ones among us, the promises become more introspective and finding peace and contentment to finally be satisfied. We all are on a pilgrimage towards a promise, are we not? Moving towards something, but it's not yet here. That's Israel. It's more than just a literal land. It's a place that they can call home. And so by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 8, they're about to cross the river and enter into the promise. It's all about to come together. It's all about to come to fruition. The promises, the expectations, the hope. We're almost there. It's in sight. And we read these words of getting ready to inherit the promise. Follow along with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters, welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you this day. When you have eaten your fill, and you've built fine houses and you live in them. And when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourselves forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow from you from flint rock, and he fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you, to test you. And in the end, do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have given me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors as he is doing so today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you have already opened our hearts and our minds and our lives. May your Spirit continue to flow through us, that in the worship that takes place this morning, we may find meaningful work in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably one of my favorite Thanksgiving passages out of Deuteronomy 8. Part of it is because even though the distance of thousands of years of Israel's experience is so different than my own, yet I can't help but hear some echoes, some reminders. It's as if God is reminding both the people then and now to take stock in where you are. Don't forget the giver. Don't forget in giving thanks. Don't forget that what awaits you will shape you. Historically, Israel kind of loses sight of that. I need to tell you that. It's kind of a spoiler alert. If you go on and read through the Old Testament, we read that Israel begins to forget. And as we get into those books of the Bible that we often skip over, you know, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and we'll read, though, over and over again, and Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forget, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's stand with the people of God then as they are on the liminal space of the brink of a promise. It's not unlike this church, right? We look around and we think, my goodness, what a beautiful place. What beautiful people. What wonderful traditions and customs. It's as if we've done a lot of good work for ourselves. Well done, First Baptist Roswell. Well done. Oh, but we know there's a backstory to all of this. If we could just listen to our ancestors 150 years ago, they might tell us, well, this was a tough go. Beginning a church out of nothing, seeking to make meaningful impact into the community in which we live. In fact, some of you may remember lean years in the history of this congregation. You may remember times in which you're wondering, are we going to make it? So it's easy at times to forget. But here we are in this liminal space where 2024 is not yet. The season of Advent is not yet. One wonders what awaits this church. What about you and your own personal lives? How's it going? Some of you are at the height of your careers and you live in the nice home and you're surrounded by the nice family and you have things to remind you how nice life is. It's easy to slip into the temptation. Look what I've done for myself. It's easy to be a culture of forgetters. Are you good at saying thanks? I don't mean just the people that serve you your food, although that's a good way to start. Or maybe saying thank you to the person that's bagging your groceries. That's also important. But I mean, are you good at just being thankful? A friend of mine once made the remark that what if you woke up the next day and you only had the things that you gave thanks for the day before? What would your day look like? Do we pause long enough to give thanks to the good health? Do we pause long enough to thank God for family? Do we thank God for the little things that happen in anyone's life, or do we take it for granted? I got to tell you, I think I'm kind of a grateful person. I say thank you a lot. I've preached 4 sermons, for goodness sake, on gratitude. But often I don't really say thanks for the things that I just take for granted. Maybe because over time I begin to imagine that I'm entitled to these things. You know, the hot cup of coffee in the morning time, having strength just to get out of bed, friends I can call on, family that's safe and sound, a roof over my head, a pantry full of good things to eat, a loving church that always greets me every single Sunday. In fact, I wonder if deep down I imagine if maybe I'm entitled to this. You'll notice the title of this message is Entitlement or Thanksgiving. And I know that we think entitlement may belong to other people, but I sometimes wonder if we drift also into seasons of entitlement. Why not change the narrative a little bit? In Deuteronomy, God reminds the people that as you enter the land of promise and you experience the fulfillment of all that God has extended before you, don't go thinking that it's all because of you. Remember the giver of these and many good gifts. Ralph Waldo Emerson writes that cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, to give thanks continuously. I also like how Maya Angelou writes, if you must look back, do so forgivingly. If you must look forward, do so prayerfully. However, the wisest thing that you can do is to be present in the present gratefully. Gratitude comes by remembering. That's why maybe for many of us, Thanksgiving is a special time. We think about traditions of long ago. Even if we no longer live in them, we look back. It's no different than the people of God. When God led them into the land that had been promised to them, they were told, do not forget where you came from. Do not forget where this comes from. And do not forget who led you. Look in verse 11. Take care that you do not forget the Lord. Do not exalt yourself forgetting the Lord your God in verse 14. In verse 17, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me into this wealth. And the next verse gives the directive. But remember. In the Jewish tradition, there's great power in that word, remembering. Not the kind of nostalgic or sentimental kind of remembering, but literally remembering that it's not because of who I am, but because of who God is. This is a season where we give thanks to both the gifts and the givers. And holiday becomes that time. It's also a time of preparing, right? That's what we've been doing in this church service, getting ready. It's not Advent yet, but we're getting ready. We're making ready the house. I love Robert's prayer, too, about how that leads to an internal transformation. How are we preparing what's happening in our interiority? How are we preparing our own lives, our hearts, our souls? As Israel was preparing to enter the promised land, God exhorted them to prepare by keeping the commandments, remembering the covenant, walking in the ways of God. Gratitude comes by remembering and by preparing and ultimately by sharing. And so each Sunday we come and we share. We share our joys, we share our voices, we share our thanksgivings. But friends, it's also okay to share our failures and our brokenness, our heartaches. I'm grateful that as a church, it's this Wednesday, I think, is when the church will gather to kind of remind ourselves, not everything is hunky-dory. Not everything is fine. Not everything feels right. We get to share that too. Church is at its best when we are at our most honest, our most vulnerable. That's the gift we can give this generation and future generations. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy says, when you have eaten and satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which God has given you. You know, my dad says a lot of things that's still funny. One of the things that he comments about every holiday season, he says, you know, my favorite Christmas lights are the taillights. I know he doesn't mean it, but he likes to say it. And when I was leaving my daddy yesterday afternoon, late afternoon, I gave him a hug, And he said, "Y'all aren't leaving so soon, are you?" I said, "I got to go, Dad. It's a couple hours drive in front of me. But we'll see you in a few weeks." It's his own way of saying, when you've eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land. It's been a good morning, hasn't it? It's going to be a great year as we enter the Advent season and the goodness that awaits First Baptist Roswell and every life here. Let's pray together. Lead us, O God, we pray, as we conclude worship, but truly begin our work. Lead us, O God, we pray, that as we leave the house of the Lord, we would enter into the keeping of gratitude. Lead us, O God, we pray, that as you come into our lives, we would follow you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is hymn number 77. And I want to invite you to respond as God leads you this morning. We've got many guests here, family members visiting for the holidays. We are grateful for your presence. We hope that this time of response is an invitation to you as well. How will you leave here differently than when you entered? The steps of the pulpit are open. If you have a decision to make, be it renewal, rededication, or an acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior, or a new commissioning in your life, however God is speaking, do not leave here without responding here. As we stand together and sing together, let us so respond together. Grateful for your presence to be here this day. I meant what I said. We cannot be church without you being here as part of God's family. If you're watching by way of streaming, we're also grateful for you being present to us in this virtual way. Know that we value you and your place in the life of this congregation. As we go forth from here, may we go forth taking church with us. We are the body of Christ, dispersed as it should be. We come together each week to remind ourselves that God has commissioned us and claimed us and sent us. We can rely on God's leadership in our lives. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you His peace. And so now we go in God's peace and God's gratitude. Amen.